Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Blazers play tomorrow, Moda Center, 7:30 against the Dallas Mavericks. Ten and ten at home this season. 11-18 against the Western Conference. Currently 19-26 overall. 16 games back of the Lakers in the West. Jamie Goldberg of the Oregonian joining us. Jamie, how are you?
Hi, doing well.
Give us the lowdown at practice. Damian Lillard breaks some news.
Yeah, Damian Lillard informed the media that Nurkic went through a full practice today. Terry Stotts later confirmed that. It sounded like he went through 4-on-4, 5-on-5 half-court drills. That's what the team was working on today. He's been doing some of that stuff with assistant coaches, with some of the younger guys on the side. But this is the first time that he was cleared to do it with the full team. And it sounds like he even threw down a dunk while he was out there today.
Jamie, did Terry Stotts seem happy that he had to confirm that, or is that something that he was willing to talk about?
He didn't seem like he wanted to talk too much about it or make too much of a big deal. He said it was a milestone, but that this sort of is the progression that they've been expecting, and there wasn't really a surprise here.
Trade made. You got Trevor Ariza now around this team in the locker room. Will Ariza be available tomorrow night?
Yes, Ariza is expected to be available. Terry Stotts, obviously knocking on wood with all the injuries and everything this year, says that he expects all three players in the trade to be available. Caleb Swanigan and Wenyen Gabriel along with Ariza. But the expectation is that Ariza will start. Be available and start tomorrow.
It's interesting because we've sort of watched this team that is in transition right now. Carmelo Anthony comes on the scene for a while. Now you get Ariza. There are a lot of moving parts. Do you think the Blazers are done, or are they poised to make another move?
I think that it's definitely possible that this team is going to make another move. It sort of, I think, depends on what value they could maybe get for Hassan Whiteside. I think that would be the obvious player with his expiring contract to try to move, depending on how much they think they can sort of tread water if they were to move Whiteside until Nurkic's return. I think this team is still competing for a playoff spot. They still believe that's possible. It's looking less and less likely it would be anything besides the eighth seed, which I think there's multiple ways to look on that at that and whether that's even really worth it, given that that would pit them against L.A. in the first round. But I think they are looking to make moves either to potentially get a little better, put themselves in a position when Nurk and Collins comes back that they can compete towards the end of the season, but also because of the fact that they've been in a luxury tax and have the highest payroll in the NBA or have the highest payroll in the NBA. And then given that the season hasn't turned out how they wanted to, I think that's something they're trying to get back under, sort of get the payroll in order.
Hassan Whiteside's value, the Blazers doing a little bit, I think, in the last few weeks to kind of readjust the expectations for what they might get there. What do you think his value is?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to tell. I think that he obviously is a guy that continues to have a reputation for maybe not trying hard enough, for putting up empty statistics. But when you do look at what he's done for this team, I think he's having a really good year. And it's hard to look at those stats and the numbers he's putting up and just call those completely empty statistics. So I think that he has trade value. I think the fact that this isn't expected to be a great summer for free agents, maybe some teams aren't going to be wanting an expiring contract just to take that on. Maybe they're looking for a player that they can have more for the long term. That potentially hurts his value in the market. But I think he's having a good season, and he's definitely a team that I think other, or he's definitely a player that I think other teams would be interested in.
Trevor Ariza coming to Portland. Is this a guy that could be a long-term fit in Portland, or is this just a for now?
I think it's probably something that's just more for now. He said today that he's not moving. His three kids and his wife are not coming up here. They're going to remain in Sacramento. His kids are going to finish out the school year there. And then, of course, they'll see what happens at that point. I think the expectation is that this is a guy that might not be back next season. But you never know. Maybe it turns out to be a really good fit and something changes. But I wouldn't bank on him being a long-term guy.
Yeah, his contract, only $1.8 million is guaranteed next season.
Yeah.
Contract not fully guaranteed until June 30th this summer. So the Blazers have till then to decide what to do with him. The mileage on Damian Lillard, I think at some point that becomes a concern. I mean, as a guy in this game against Golden State, it was remarkable to see what he did. But also I'm going, man, what is he going to look like at the end of the season if he gets no help? What do you make of sort of the miles that are being put on Lillard? How soon will CJ McCollum be available?
In terms of McCollum, we did see him out here today running through a few drills with the assistant coaches after practice. He didn't participate in the full practice, but he was able to sort of cut, which is a really good sign on a sprained ankle. He was shooting. He was moving around well. Terry Stotts did not say whether he would be available for Thursday, and I think the fact that he didn't practice fully raises some questions about whether he will play tomorrow, but I think it's a really good sign. I expect him to be back soon, if not tomorrow, maybe Sunday, based on what we saw today. I think that's definitely helpful for Lillard to get CJ McCollum back on the floor. But Damian Lillard is not a guy that's going to want to sit out or play less minutes. He still expects that this team is going to make the playoffs, and he set his goal on finding a way to lead them there. I mean, I think that's why he sort of took it upon himself to take over the game the other night, score 61 points to make sure the Blazers were able to get that win over Golden State. So, yes, there might be questions on whether you want to put that many minutes on him, especially in a season where you don't know if it's going anywhere. But I just think Damian Lillard is the type of player that doesn't want to come out of the game. And the coaches aren't going to force him into some load management. If he wants to be out there.
Jamie Goldberg of the Oregonian covers the Blazers. You can find her on Oregon Live, also on Twitter. If Yusuf Nurkic isn't back and able to start, can you trade Hassan Whiteside?
Yeah, that's the big question. not easily, no, given where this team's at. I mean, they got a little bit more height and length in this trade with Sacramento, but you don't necessarily looking at winning Gabriel or Caleb Zonigan is a player that you want to throw into the starting lineup. Scalabissier, same thing. I don't see him as somebody they want to put into that starting center role. But if the timing works out and they think Nurkic is going to be back right around the trade deadline, the expectation has always been February, I think that is a move they might make. Or if they just think it's a great long-term move for the future and recognize where the season's at, maybe that's just a move they make anyways.
What's the mood of the front office?
I think that there's a feeling that the team has been hard hit by injuries this year in the conversations that I've had where they feel like they put a good team together and they haven't had a chance to really see what that group looks like on the court. So I don't think they've looked at this necessarily. Clearly it's been a disappointment, but I don't think they've looked at it necessarily and said, we didn't do a good enough job putting the personnel. We don't have the starting group that can be a good team in the league. I think the expectation still is if they're healthy, they have the starting five that they would potentially like to bring into next season with Nurkic, Collins, Rodney Hood, and McCollum and Lillard. So I think there's probably some mixed emotions there where it doesn't feel like a total failure on their part. That the injuries have played an outsized role in this season.
Jamie Goldberg of the Oregonian with us. Their schedule in the near term, obviously they get the Mavericks on Thursday night, tomorrow night. Then their schedule turns to Indiana, and you've got some games on the horizon, and I'm kind of looking at the playoff race, and I'm watching New Orleans get Zion back, but you got the Rockets at home. The Lakers at Staples Center, the Jazz at home, the Nuggets on the road, the Spurs at home, the Jazz on the road. How does that feel to you in the next seven or so games?
Yeah, I think the next seven games specifically, I think they're all against winning teams. I think the Spurs is the eighth game. I'd have to look at the exact schedule, but there's a lot of games against winning teams coming up right now, teams with winning records, and the Blazers have not done well against teams with winning records this year. They have only five wins against those teams, and some of those wins came against, Oklahoma before they started hitting their stride. So it's a tough road for them, and given the personnel they have right now, we'll see if Ariza makes a difference, but that's not a big-name trade or anything like that. This is sort of a make-or-break stretch, and given what we've seen from the Blazers so far this season, it's hard to see how they're going to make the most of this. But you never know what happens in sports. But, yeah, this is a tough one.
Yeah, there's seven games before the trade deadline, and you're right. The Spurs fall on the trade deadline Thursday, February 6th. So it'll be interesting to see what this roster looks like on February 7th. Gun to your head, is Hassan Whiteside in a Blazer uniform on Valentine's Day?
I think I'm going to go with yes. Yes, he is. I don't think they're going to end up moving him.
Jamie Goldberg, we appreciate you. You do a great job.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John.
All right, there's Jamie Goldberg of the Oregonian. I think the Blazers are in a tough spot with Whiteside. You're in a tough spot, period. And it's far trickier than, are they tanking? Are they going for it? They just dumped salary. They saved $12, $13 million by, doing what they did, this trade they did. They got Ariza back. I feel like they best case scenario, they went sideways and lost some money. I mean, saved money, shed some salary. But Whiteside's tricky because I didn't read today's news with the euphoria that like a lot of Blazers fans will feel about, hey, Yusuf Nurkic competed 5-on-5. I kind of expected we were going to hear that about this point of the year. But until he's able to go full throttle, can you trade Hassan Whiteside? And more importantly, can you look Damian Lillard in the eyes? Because if you trade Whiteside at the deadline, you take the savings, look, expiring contract going, we're going to get a player in return, and you don't have a center, then all of a sudden you're telling Damian Lillard, look, we're not making the playoffs, no matter what you do. If they keep Whiteside, then it's a clear, hey, we're going to take the savings ourselves on that contract. It's going to expire. We're not getting a player. It's kind of like you gave up Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard for nothing. And maybe some people would do that, but it's all about next year for the Blazers. It's not about this season. It's not about being the eighth seed. I almost think you don't want to be the eighth seed. You're not going anywhere. Nothing good comes out of being the eighth seed, but we have seven games between now and the trade deadline. It starts tomorrow night. And you heard it from Goldberg. They have made hay against bad teams. They're beating the Warriors. Okay? They haven't fared well against teams like Dallas, Indiana, Houston, Lakers, Jazz. And February 6th is coming, and you've got seven games. There's a shot they're 2-5, 3-4 in those seven games, even though they're playing a bunch of them at home. So what do you do at that point? So you can get into a Blazers game tomorrow night for $33 on StubHub. I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's a moment of truth for the franchise, and if we're being truthful, the Carmelo thing was fun. Damian scoring 61 is awesome. That's entertaining for a night. But this is not a team you want to spend a postseason with. You know what I mean? Like, let's already turn the focus to next year. And I'm not talking about you'd lose every game possible, but you have to be positioned. And I don't buy that saving money and having the ability to sign a free agent or two that you could put next to Damian Lillard is a bad thing, even with a weak free agent class, because there are players out there. Maybe you're not getting Anthony Davis. Maybe you're not getting LeBron. You're not getting Kevin Durant. Those kinds of players are not available, but those kinds of players were never coming to Portland anyway. Selling a pipe dream it's going to be a weak free agent class, therefore we shouldn't participate. No, it's going to be a weak free agent class, but guess what? Portland is always in a weak free agent market. You're in a bad negotiating position. 503-417-7575. I'll take your phone calls on that. Our 2 at 2 is coming up top of the hour. Going on today, earthquake in L.A., Hall of Fame bitching and whining, the normal bitching and whining that happens after a Hall of Fame vote. People saying the guy who didn't vote for Derek Jeter should have his vote stripped. No, that's not how a vote works. That's actually the opposite of why you do have a vote. I don't know that anything needs to be unanimous. You have a vote because you're vetting the process. I think the votes should be made public. The Baseball Writers Association at the bottom of the ballot has a box, and it says, would you like your ballot to be made public? And I always check the box, yes, because I think that accountability is important. I don't ever want to be hiding. I tweet out my ballot, but somebody's hiding. That's a bigger thing for me. Somebody hiding. And I'm trying to figure out if I want to vote in the Baseball Writers Hall of Fame vote next year. I paid my dues. I signed back up. I'm a member for this next year. I'll get a ballot. I'm trying to figure out if I should be voting, because the whole reason the Baseball Writers Association, if you are a 10-year member and you're a working media member, they ask you some questions throughout the seasons about what you're doing, whatever. They either qualify or they don't qualify you as a voting member. They have deemed me a voting member, but part of my apprehension with continuing to vote is I believe in very short order, in the next 2 or 3 years, I'm going to start to see players on the ballot that I didn't cover. I was covering Major League Baseball in the Larry Walker, Derek Jeter era of baseball. Barry Bonds, I was covering that stuff. I was around it. I saw it up close. It was my job to be there. I've been in Portland, Oregon, covering football and basketball and everything going on in the Northwest. There's not a Major League Baseball team here. And so I'm kind of wrestling with like the personal decision of, should I be voting on players that I didn't see firsthand? And I haven't yet seen that wave, but I know it's coming. I know it's coming because I've been here now 17 years, but the vast majority of players that I'm seeing on the ballot still are players that I actually covered. So that's something I'm wrestling with. Like, who should actually be holding these votes? If you're in Portland, Oregon, and there's no Major League Baseball team here, and the Baseball Writers Association said, no, you're good. You cover baseball. You're a baseball guy. You're a member of our organization.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.